Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Check 1, 2. There we go. All right. I apologize. I was not ready. Everything else was ready. Do you ever think you had everything ready and advanced, ready to go, and then it's like, why didn't I put gas in the car? Here we are. I could have done that last night while I was doing everything else. I apologize. Here we are on a beautiful Sunday morning in the house of God. And it's the house of God because the people of God are gathered. Anywhere we come together, it is transformed into the place where heaven touches the earth. Aren't you glad to be part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? Amen. We're going to continue on in a message I began starting last week. A cosmic Christianity. Look at your neighbor and said, yes, he said cosmic Christianity. Cosmic Christianity. Now, this is not New Age religion. This is not some strange twist of mysticism on a classic first century Christianity or what the church that was delivered to the saints. No, this is getting back to the origin and the basics and the blueprint of our Christianity, of the church. And so I want to begin. You know, we may get through these. If not, as I was telling Pastor Steve, this is the one thing that we talk about as pastors. You know what? If we don't get through it, I know what I'm preaching on next week. I'm already ready. And maybe next time I'll have the mic on and ready to go. 8 blessings of the church. I want to talk to you for just a second by way of introduction that it's significant that the Apostle Paul cites for us 8 blessings in the church. 10 times he mentions in this passage, in God, in Christ, in Him, in that short passage. But it comes out, it works out to 8 things. Look at your neighbor, say 8 things. Numbers are significant in Scripture. How many days did God use for creation and rest? 7. For creation and rest, 7 days. On the 6 days He made, on the 7th He rested. How long is our week? 7 days. And so this number 7 is significant in God's universe, in God's order, in God's creation. And so which day did Jesus raise up from the dead? First day of the week, or also in the Jewish feast, it was the 8th day of the feast. It was the 8th day of the feast week, the time of the waving of the first fruits, and He fulfilled that. The number 8 talks to us about the new creation. It's the newness of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I like things that are new. I like new cars, new computers, right? New carpeting, new flooring. I don't like new car payments, new insurance, life insurance rates. I don't like the newness of that. Many times that means an increase. That's very uncomfortable in my budget. But there's a whole lot of things that I like that are new. So when we're talking about this, we can hear Jesus say, behold, I make all things new. And so when we're talking about this idea of the church, we're talking about something that was revealed in these last days. Now, I want to let you in on something. And maybe you've thought about this, maybe you haven't. There is the great mystery of the church and the plan of God concerning her and Israel, and it's revealed by Paul to the church at Ephesus. Now, this may seem controversial to some, and others of you say, of course, that's the way it is. But this idea of the church, Paul shares over and over in his writings that this is something that God had kept hidden until the end. What is it? Part of it is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But that is the idea of Christ in you, plural, when gathered together in the body of Christ. Now, we live in a time, you can look at the Gallup polls, you can study some of the demographics. It's very disconcerting to us that our leaders in the church and people who care about our generation and the next generations to come, and that is that there has been a grand departure from the church. There are a ton of people who have become de-churched. They have stepped out of the context of being in fellowship with other believers on a regular basis. And they find themselves, ironically, kind of embracing that passage in the book of Hebrews that says that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And yet we're living in the time when we see the day approaching, and there is an exponential movement of people away from fellowship with other believers in the context of the church. Why? Because the enemy hates the church. Because the flesh hates the church. And because the church is the treasured possession of Jesus, he is the head of the church, and we are his members in particular. And there is something powerful that happens when the church is aligned and doing what the church should be doing, and people are connected within that mystical body of Christ, and they begin to realize all the possibility and potential that is available to them as a member of the body of Christ. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. You missed the applause line there, and I'm sorry. I know it's a little gray outside, a little rainy. Yeah, there you go. Boy, that was okay. Paul lists 8 distinct aspects of this mystery, and he's talking about the fullness and the newness of the creation. And what we're going to discover here in chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, whether it takes us a week or two, not sure how many we can get through this. I'm going to try not to go too slow or go too fast. I think it's really important that, especially for the new believer, that they connect to this. But there's many of us in this room that we really haven't ever considered this before. And let it be new again to you. Amen? And let's really listen. We heard a word of prophecy through tongues interpretation earlier. A voice of the Lord to our congregation says, listen to what I'm going to say to you. All right, so this is something he's been speaking to me, and it's something that he wants to do more than for you to hear the rattling, have the rattling of your eardrums and hear my voice. And I'm not interested. I've been speaking long enough that I've gotten past that initial fascination with the sound of my own voice, okay? What's important to me is that you don't hear me, but you, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Isn't that interesting that the Holy Spirit speaks in the context of the body of Christ and the church? So let us really open our ears and let this be a time of a cosmic experience. What does that imply? Where we can connect to and have an experience of the supernatural realm in our life, even though, and very often it's unexpected because we think it's going to be business as usual or something's going to proceed a certain way. But don't you know that the Holy Spirit has a way of taking the most simplistic and mundane things and inserting himself into them and doing something glorious and powerful in our life so that we do not risk worshiping the person who shared it with us or the way in which it was shared, but we know that we know that we know that God was speaking to me and I could respond to him, and it's glorious. Amen? So we want to be like Samuel, instructed by Eli, speak, Lord, your servant hears, listens. So number one, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 there says, praise, let's all say this together. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now I love that inclusive language of us. So let's consider this. First of all, this is an idea of relationship. And what is that idea of relationship? That next slide shows it this way. The Father, he talks about the Father, and that is an idea of relationship. Jesus loves relationship. The Father loves relationship. God has designed us to have what? Relationship. Now, here is the grand thing that we always need to bear in mind, and this is probably some of the reason why people are exiting church today. Because church, or being in part of the church, is about being in a family and being in relationship. It's not about being in an organization and functioning in religion. Religion kills, but relationship makes alive. Church needs to be exciting because it's an anticipation of coming together as the family of God and in that encounter, encountering the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and being renewed in the sense that we are not our own, we're bought with a price, and we're part of the family of God. The Father and us in relationship. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Now, how many of you ever wanted to join the Bless Me Club? It's kind of like Gavalia Coffee or something like that, where we want to sign up and we're really interested in all these blessings coming to me. We live in a society that's interesting in how this is going to help me. We need to be transformative in our society, and we need to come to these moments together. We need to come into this understanding of the church and see it in the context of us and we. He loves for us to be in relationship, and his intention is for that relationship to not only be vertical with myself and God as my Father, but to be horizontal with my relationship with the body of Christ and where I fit there, as well as my relationship to the world and how I affect there. And that's no different for me than it is for you. Every one of us in this room are called to that relationship, and we're called to that relationship with God, and then the context of how does that work out with other people. Now, how many of you know that in a lot of ways, life would just be more fun if it wasn't for other people? All the introverts said, they're not going to say anything because they're so introverted they don't even want to speak out in church. But people are a challenge. And the problem or the challenge about church is that it has people in it. And where you have people, you have difficulties and challenges. You have conflicts. You have different personalities. Everything's different and limited in certain ways. And man, oh man, it could just seem to just twist you in half when it goes sideways. But nevertheless, God in his wisdom has called us into this relationship. And he has set for us this idea who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. That's past tense. ED says, indicates past tense. So what God has done is he has provided past tense. Now, if we're not careful, in our prayer life, we slander the Lord. Because we're acting as if he has to come up with it right now. And that he is not willing to do so. And with the proper begging and cajoling and standing on one foot and dragging ourselves a mile through broken glass, then we can somehow get him to create or do something for us. And we've got to move into this position and mindset. Everything that we have need of, God has already provided. He thinks of everything. He's already stocked the shelves. He's already loaded the card with money. Everything is already there. Everything that you have need of, any possibility in your life, God has already provided. So the time in the past, he has already blessed us where? The highest realm. Isn't that great? Now, what does that mean? That the highest place of existence or living. The Shemayim, the heavens, the high place. Now, if you ask most people, you know, I love this at the time of year, of course, is school starting again. But at the end of last year, people were signing and getting all of their yearbooks. And I still have some of my yearbooks from 1981. Yes, they had them there and in color. And so, and I open those pages and I look at all of those expectant faces looking towards the future and all of the prophecies that were penned into that yearbook. Well, I bet you're going to be a gazillionaire and all the other stuff. And everybody in that yearbook had high hopes and high expectations. We are going to go somewhere. This one was voted most likely to succeed. This one is most likely to become a millionaire before the time they're 20, on and on and on. All these high expectations and high hopes. And then that was spoken to them, spoken to us over our graduation and so on and so forth. But oh, if you could see us now. And the things that have transpired over that time, there are very many people who were aiming to live life in the highest realm, but they have found themselves in great desperation, great emptiness, great loneliness, and one of the great disappointments of life is it hasn't worked out the way they had hoped, and they felt like they maybe they could live here, but instead they are living here. That's reality, folks. That's reality. But God has an answer for that. And that is His ambition, His high hope for us is that we would be seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has blessed us in where? The heavenly realms. This is the highest realm. This is the highest place of existence. This is the highest place where we are called to. This is our future. This is our destiny in Christ Jesus. And so He has made it possible for us, and past tense has blessed us in the highest realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now notice this significance. Where is that relationship that's critical? In Christ. The only place, the only way to get to that hopeful future, the only way to get into that place of blessing, the only way to get into that higher realm, the only way to come up, to arise up, to come up out of the ashes and up out of the dust and up out of the despair and up out of the background that has started you in a certain spot and you want to go higher, the only way to really do that is to connect into the resources of God that have been provided beforehand and accept His provision, but it is found only in Christ. Not outside of Him. Now, we're living in a world today that's trying to figure out how to get to the heavenly realms without Christ, without Jesus. There are false religions and false hopes that are being painted over people's lives. There are believers who are actually trying to purchase hell insurance to not go there, but attempting to live their life according to every principle of this world, hoping to ascend into the heavens and come up into that place of no limits in their life. And they are living a lie because they have disconnected them from the vital connection that it is found where? In Christ. The Apostle Paul would say in another book that I might be found in Him. Look at your neighbor and say, in Him. You're going to find a theme throughout these points that it's all about being in Christ, being in Him. Now, you're either in Him or you're not. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, my goodness, how do I get in Him? By faith. You accept the invitation. You accept Christ as your answer, your solution, and God's provision, which He has already provided, past tense, for you. When was this provided? It was provided in history around 2,000 years ago when God became flesh and walked amongst us and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He went and perished under the hands of Rome and the Jewish leadership of the Sanhedrin and the chief priests through a conspiracy, an ungodly conspiracy. And yet He laid down His life, a ransom for many. He was buried. And 3 days later was raised again back from the dead as a testimony that His payment for our sin was received, past tense, in full. Give the Lord a hand clap. The cross stands at the center of time as God's sign of His covenant, and the answer every time is in Christ. There will be people who get tired of our message. We're not responsible for that. We're responsible for living the message and giving the message, and that's this, Him. It's in Him. It's about Him. It's about your relationship with Him that you might be found in Him. Because if you can get in Him, look at what it opens up to you. What is the entrance into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is being born again. And when you're born again, you come into the family of God. You have entered the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for those membership standards? Some of you are saying, man, you have to do more to get to Vision Church than you do to the kingdom of God. Number two. Oh, before I go there, let me just conclude that statement by saying this. The church is where people learn to live in the higher realm instead of the lower realm. This is where they learn it. This is where you get the values. This is where you get the word. This is where you get the teaching. This is where you get the example. This is where you get the training. Yes, in imperfect human vessels, You have modeled before you people who are straining towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and they are longing to see His appearing. They're longing to receive their inheritance, and it is amongst people like that, though imperfect that they are, that's where God has chosen to reveal this great mystery that we can live higher than we're living. We can live better than we're living. And I'm not talking about American economic indexes. I'm talking about success. And I'm talking about blessing. And I'm talking about provision. As God has defined it, it's in His church. Amen? Aren't you glad He loves you? And He has a plan for your life? To bless you and to prosper you, not for you to be defeated. Number two, another important point. For He chose us in Him. Everybody say in Him. Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. In His sight in love. Now there's some debate about whether that in love belongs at the end of this verse or the beginning of the next verse. And I went with the preponderance of the evidence that we put it at the end of this verse. So, He chose us in Him. What's that about? Position. You know who the focus of the choosing by God is? Christ. Christ is the chosen one. And when we place our faith in Jesus, what happens? We get to be a part of the choice. We become the chosen. We become the chosen by virtue of having accepted the offer for Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. And when did God do this? You see, our position is chosen in Him. He chose us in Him. When? Before creation. Wow. Wait a minute now, Pastor. Before Genesis 1:1. Before it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We hear John say in the book of John, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We hear it in the book of Revelation. He is worthy. He who was slain from the very foundation of the world. And we have God, who has made everything, including time, making provision for us to have position with Him before creation. Why did He do that? Because He knew He would give us an opportunity to choose, and some would choose poorly. That Adam and Eve would choose poorly. And He made a contingency plan that rather than being lost forever from His presence, and rather than eat of the tree of life and live forever separated from Him, He offered Himself upon a tree so that He might become the tree of life and we could be in Him and live forever. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's good news. And what way does He want us to live? How should we live? The answer is holy and blameless. Now, just stop right there. As soon as we hear that, how does God want me to live? Answer, holy and blameless. How many of you sit there and go, oh, I better get out of this deal right now because, wow, that's pretty high. What's holy? I mean, that angels ascribe that and talk about that, but what really is holy? Holy is complete, entire, lacking nothing, and doing the function which you were destined to do. That's what holiness is. Some of us get caught up in the religious language of being separate, sacred, and you don't go running the church because it's holy, and you don't do this because that guy's holy, and you don't do this with that picture because it depicts somebody that's holy, and so on and so forth. And we get all caught up in religious mentality and idolatry rather than understanding what holiness is. Holiness is being complete, entire, and lacking nothing, and blameless. Not doing something to have fault found in you. Now, some of you are saying, okay, Pastor, I can buy into holy, but I'm not sure about that blameless. Wow, tall order, isn't it? To be blameless, that no one can accuse you based upon the law of God and it be true. Well, do you see now why it's important that we be in Him? Because if we do it in us, what happens? We're neither holy nor blameless, and we have the condemnation of the law hanging over us, and we have a pit of hell awaiting us, which is just. And to be separated from God is only understandable But what did he do? He made a way for a relationship where we could be in his sight and in love, be worked with, dealt with, moved along, transformed, and be infused with grace so that we could become holy and blameless. Isn't that awesome? That I'm not as holy today as I will be tomorrow. And I'm not as blameless today as I will be tomorrow. Why? Because there's a transforming influence upon my life. I belong in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in the context of that, being in Him and being in His church, that grace is flowing to my life, lifestyles are being lived around me, examples are being made, and I can detect and pick up and see God's transforming grace, and I say, isn't that awesome? The church is where broken and guilty people learn how to live holy and blameless in love relationship with God and with each other. Now see if this isn't true. Here's one reason that people are leaving the church. And that is because there's an enemy out there who condemns. Very often, we in the church sit there going, why did they not come back? And it's not like they went to another church. But they opted to not go anywhere. What in the world's going on there? Very often, I'm not saying every time, I'm saying very often, here's what happens. The enemy comes to them and says, what are you doing trying to live this godly thing? Let's go to the next slide, Brother Chris. What in the world are you trying to do this Christian lifestyle thing? I saw you three times this week mess up. That's what the voice of the enemy sounds like. And by the way, you will not hear more word preached to you than you'll hear from the enemy that will remind you of everywhere in Scripture you're guilty. Look, if he can go to Jesus and try it, do you really think he's going to leave you unscathed? What does condemnation always use? It doesn't use the U.S. Constitution. It doesn't use the Texas law book. It doesn't use the U.S. law book. Condemnation always uses the holy word of God and then never comes with a sense of affirmation. It comes to you and says, so why don't you give up? Because you'll never be good enough and you'll never make it and you might as well have fun on your way to the pit. And people start to believe the lie and they start to disconnect. I can't go down there. That pastor's perfect. No, I'm not. Ask my wife. Ask my parents. They're here. That is a place where those people are holy. I mean, they're living in the presence of Jesus. I don't want to mess up the deal. And they'll begin to distance themselves, and the enemy will begin to condemn them. And I'll tell you, there's only one answer for the condemnation, and that is the voice of encouragement of a fellow believer that says, I know you're struggling. I know you've had difficulty. I struggle there too. But I'm here to tell you, I met a Savior, a Deliverer, a Healer. I've met Jesus. I'm in Him, and my righteousness is not mine, it's His. And He can transform you and change you. He can change your want-to. He can deal with you. You just need some people to say, we believe in you, we'll stand with you, we'll not turn our back on you, we'll pray for you, we'll come and visit, we'll cry with you when you need to cry, we'll laugh with you when you need to laugh, but we're not going to leave your side. We're on a journey together, and we're in Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. What a high calling. The church is where broken and guilty people learn how to live holy and blamelessly in love relationships with God and with us. One more, we're going to close it down. Number three. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. If you're born again this morning, right where you are, just say, I'm adopted. Now, why did you have to be adopted? Because your natural father is Adam, and your natural mother is Eve. And they fell. And they deserve God's separation and judgment. But that's not the end of the story. There is a father who is interested in adoption. Now, how many of you remember the story of Annie, that Broadway musical? Many of us can sing this song. In fact, sometimes I do around the house. It's a hard knock life we need. It's a hard knock row we hoe. Instead of kisses, we get kicks. Cause we're in an orphanage. It's a hard knock life. Now, one of the great features of that Broadway musical is a man by the name of Daddy Warbucks. A wealthy man who comes and adopts little orphan Annie, transforms and changes her life. You know why we like that song? Do you know why that musical sold millions of tickets and people love to listen to the music? They don't realize it, but they're hearing the gospel message of redemption. They are hearing this idea that my entire life can be transformed and changed if I just had someone adopt me and make it all transform and change. It's not just a magical cosmic story of Daddy Warbucks set in a time of depression and the transformation of one orphan's life and eventually many others because of their relationship with them. We're talking about man who was destitute, broken, sinful, and lost. Those who had descended from Adam and Eve and found themselves without hope and without God. And yet, here is what the church is here to proclaim, and this is what the centrality of the gospel message says. We are adopted as sons. Religion will say you're adopted as stepsons. Hello? But the gospel of Jesus Christ says you're adopted as a son or a daughter with equal standing to the first son whose name is Jesus, the Christ of God. You are adopted by God the Heavenly Father and brought into His household, and He did this. He set this in the past that we would be adopted as sons. He planned before that we could be adopted as sons. Isn't that awesome? God is a planner. The plan was to offer this possibility of adoption. And when did He do it? Way back. He did it before the beginning. We have been predestined. He says He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. So what is He saying? He said, I set it out in the beginning that the plan was that all of these broken people could be transformed and changed if they would simply by faith accept my Son. Then they could be found in Him. And because He is my Son, my one and only, I can extend those rights and privileges to the rest of the family by adopting them so that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That's cosmic. That is out of this world. That is bizarre. That is amazing. Give the Lord a hand clap. No man would ever dream that plan up. This is proof positive. It's not just a religious scheme. This had to be revealed by God. And it was a mystery held for centuries. But now it's revealed to us. Don't you feel wonderful to know this has been... I get to know the secret. This is glorious grace given. Regardless of our condition or our state, He has, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one that He loves. The church is where people learn how to become sons of God and allow grace to flow through them. Isn't that awesome? We're adopted, but we still need to be trained in what it means to be a son of God. We still need training. When we become born again, does that make us perfect? No. It makes us forgiven. Now what happens? We become discipled up into Jesus, and we begin to discover, what does it mean to be a son of God? What does it mean to be a daughter of God? What does it mean to be a child of God? And we find for us a perfect place, right here at Vision Church, a place for people to discover the cosmic reality of Christianity and for us to be released into what it means to be sons and daughters of God, to grow up into this calling, to grow up into this wonderful adoption that's been extended to us. and to learn from Jesus himself, the one and only. To learn by the same tutelage of the Holy Spirit that he did, and to allow grace to flow through us. Isn't that a great plan? That's a lot better than I could have cooked up. But wait, there's more. This morning we got through an introduction and three of those things. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. I know that on one level this is instructive, but I'm praying that some of you are saying for the first time, wow, I didn't see that, I didn't know that, I didn't understand that, that the Holy Spirit would unpack to us the power of what Christ has determined in his church, what God has determined in his church, and that we could become. Isn't that a great ambition to have? You know where vision will church go, will go all by itself under my leadership as a human being? Right down the tubes, that's where it'll go. But where will Vision Church go if it dares to say, wow, there's a higher place to live. There's a higher place to be. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. And we're coming together in this divine conspiracy to become the church that Jesus has called us to be. And to be a person in that church that he has called us to be. And that we can see his majestic grace revealed in this room and in the lives of people. And that we can grow up into the grace and the fullness and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can become a church, a cosmic Christianity church that sets every demon within 50 miles nerves on edge. The name of this church gets noticed in the annals of hell. And that doesn't impress us. I'll tell you what impresses us. That we're raised up with Christ into heavenly places, and we can live now for him. We can express the kingdom of heaven now. We can express our citizenship as members of the kingdom of heaven, and we can see his grace revealed and flow and transform and be a light into the darkness to pull those out of sin into salvation, and that we can become experts and great at sharing the glorious good news of Jesus, the Christ of God. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. So, Lord, we just pray that together as a group of people right now. Lord, would you just breathe upon us, Spirit of God. You're excited about this. Lord Jesus, this excited you to know that this great mystery was hidden and was going to be revealed in the latter days. Father, this excited you. You kept this secret for 2,000 years prior, for 4,000 years prior to the arrival of Christ. And now many of us still are trying to figure out this mystery. Lord, I thank you for the mysteries you have for us. The great cosmological, the great awesome, amazing things of the movement of your grace. Lord, I pray that we not be a church or a person that hangs out on the lower rungs and is satisfied with life on this earth below, looked through the lens of humanity. But we will be a church that says, let us go up higher. Let us encourage. Let us be released by his grace. Let us find out and discover what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. What does it mean? What does he have for me? What's it going to mean in my life to have all the fullness of everything that he's provided for me in Christ Jesus? Lord, we thank you for your church. And Lord, we pray, help us be the church. Help us to become that church. Lord, write that upon our hearts. Let that be our destiny. Help us to hear that. Help that to go into our heart and change our attitudes and lift our spirits and realize as we go out this door, listen, I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm a part of the mystery of God that was hidden throughout the ages. I'm part of a divine conspiracy to have heaven touch the earth and change forever the lives of those people who are touched. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask that you release us into that, draw us into that, woo us into that, transform us into that, we pray, by the wind of your grace. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Lord bless you as you go. Tonight, ladies' Bible study at 4 o'clock, youth at 6. Be sure to come back next week. We're going to continue digging in the book of Ephesians, and the Lord's going to do a powerful thing in our lives together. Lord bless you as you go.